Good morning. Good morning to each one. We are happy to have you with us this morning for our Sunday morning service here at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. Appreciate the attendance of each one. If you're a visitor, we offer you a special welcome. We love having visitors here at Central. Whether you are in the building here with us this morning or are watching online, if you are visiting, please visit with us every opportunity that presents itself. Happy New Year to each one. This is our first Sunday together in 2022. Glad to have you come out for that. It's a great way to start off the new year, to gather together to worship God. This is a time when a lot of people will make resolutions. They decide they're going to get on a new dietary plan, maybe join a gym, get into an exercise program. And those are good things to do. But I want to challenge each one to make a different resolution, and that is to resolve to draw closer to God in this new year, to build a deeper personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. And by our Bible study, our prayer life, by being more faithful in our attendance at the worship services and in Bible classes, we can do that. And that's a resolution that will yield eternal dividends. So we want to make sure that we stick with that. Now let us do that which is the most important thing that we can do today, and that's to join in the worship of God Almighty.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 121.
Let us all unite to sing. God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises ring. God is love. Let them so fast be.
Please be seated. Our next hymn will be hymn number 754. 754. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 766.
Let us bow as we pray together. Holy and marvelous Heavenly Father, we come to you now in humility as we bow down before you. We pray, Father, that we would praise you and honor you during our worship service to you this day For you are the Almighty. You are our Creator. And Father, you know all things. So, Father, we come to you as children with thanksgiving on our lips for the many ways in which you have blessed us. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to assemble together. Thankful, Father, for your body that meets here. Thankful, Father, for this avenue of prayer that we have to approach you, realizing, Father, that you know all things. You know our needs and you know our concerns. Yet, Father, we find much comfort in approaching you and asking, Father, for your guidance, asking, Father, for your blessings. Father, we want to thank you for the many ways in which we are blessed materially. Help us to recognize, Father, that we truly are blessed, that we have so much more than so many people in this world. So help us, Father, to have hearts that are generous. Help us, Father, to do those things that we can when we have opportunity to show your goodness, that your love and care might be shown in the things that we do. Father, we're thankful that we have the Bible. Thankful, Father, that we have your word, for it is truth, and it is a guide to our footsteps in this life. Father, we want to ask your blessings on our ministers here and their families as well. We are thankful for their desire and their work with us as a congregation. Also, Father, we pray your blessings on our leadership, our elders. We pray, Father, you would strengthen them and bless their families. We give you thanks, Father, for our families, for our children and our parents and those that we love and give joy in our hearts. Father, we ask your blessings on our young ones, on our children. We pray, Father, that they might be brought up and nourished in your word, and that they might be prepared as they go out into this dark world. Pray, Father, for those of our number and our friends and family who are dealing with all kinds of difficulties. Pray, Father, for all those that are impacted by COVID-19. Pray for them and their families. And we do pray, Father, that you would continue to guard us and bless us as we find this difficult times, but help us, Father, to be patient, and help us, Father, to do what we can to protect ourselves. Father, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us and continues to do for us. Thankful, Father, for his obedience and his willingness to come to this earth, that we might have opportunity for eternal life through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we do thank you, Father, for your love. Father, we want to pray for all of those who are teachers here among us. Please bless them. And we are thankful, Father, for their preparation and for their work, which is involved particularly with our young ones. Father, we pray that we might grow our faith in you and in your word as we begin this new year. Pray, Father, that we would be resolute in our hope based on your promises. And we pray, Father, that we would exhibit love as your children, that we might be recognized as distinct because of our care for one another and for those that we interact with. Father, please bless us and guide us. We recognize, Father, that we are weak and fail you quite often, and we pray, Father, for you to continue to be long-suffering with us, to shower us with your grace, and we do pray, Father, for your forgiveness. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have the scripture reading and then today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 830.
Open our eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key thou shalt unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Savior divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Savior divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me.
Those children that will be attending the children's training class can be taken there now. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him."
Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And if you're thinking, "Wow, Tim, you're a couple of weeks off." No, I'm not. There is never a time that we can't say there's joy because Christ has come to bring salvation.
And joy is so important, so important. In fact, we learn in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you don't have that joy of the Lord, you need to be asking yourself, why not? Why is it that I'm not happy to be a follower of Christ and joyful about salvation? And that's a good place to begin. This year, I need to make sure that I have that salvation and that the joy of the Lord is my strength. We are so glad that we have that, that God has blessed us with that kind of life. And it's good for us to come together to praise Him, to worship Him as we're doing right now. We're so glad that you're with us today. We have a little better number than I thought we'd have in the auditorium this morning. Looks like it's good and still growing, maybe slowly. We know we also have many that are with us online, and we're very happy that you are joining us in that way. I know for some it is still not possible for you to be here in the presence of the church, but you are in the presence of the church virtually. And when you can't do otherwise, that's the right place to be. And so we're glad that you are with us. I want to mention a couple of people in particular as we get ready to get into our lesson. One is somebody that is here almost for the first time, and that is Shepherd Heatherly. I realize this is not his first time, but it's the first time I remember to say it while he was here. Shepherd is the newborn son of Sarah and Huston Heatherly, the brother of Cormac. And wave your hand back there, Heatherlies. And Shepherd, if you can do that too, go ahead. And I know there's some grandparents here with us today as well, and I know they're beaming. And we're just so happy for these new births. We've had a few of them lately, and we are really happy about that. And then somebody else we want to say something about is our brother Fred Selby, because today is his 91st birthday. Now you can look around, you're not going to see him in the auditorium here, but he is with us. He and June now live in Clarksville, Tennessee, but this is still their home church. And I know they are still watching with us right now. And Fred, we just want you to know that we will not forget you, even though you're not here. You are June, and we hope you have a very happy birthday. So it's just good to be together. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. If we can help in any way, please let us know. We'll do all that we can to help you. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. I know weather is predicted to change this evening, but I think that's much later in the evening. So come on out at 6 o'clock. Tim Haywood is going to bring us a lesson again this evening, and I know it will be worthwhile. So let's get together again and worship God. This is the Lord's Day, and let's give Him the honor and the praise that He is due. Now get your Bible out. Maybe you've got a new Bible that you got last week. Let's get that broke in really good. Maybe it's a new phone with a new app on it. Let's get that broke in as well. Turn to the passages that you'll see listed on the screen, and I'll try to give you time to get there before I begin reading them. But let's work together and help each other know God's will even better. I'm going to first begin with an illustration of what we'll be talking about. Let's imagine that we are visiting the home of a friend who happens to have a telescope set up in their backyard. And they invite us out. They have it focused on the planet Saturn. And they tell about it, and automatically we say, well, yeah, I'd like to see that. May I take a look at Saturn through the telescope? And after a couple of minutes, our curiosity is satisfied. We are impressed with this planet that we can barely see with our naked eye. And man, what an amazing thing it is that God has made. But somewhere nearby, there is somebody else in an observatory who is looking through a much more powerful telescope. And it's not just a couple of minutes. They're looking at it. They're looking at it for hours at a time. And over time, it may take weeks, it may take months, and maybe even years, they'll become an expert on the planet Saturn. Now the point is, we both want to see. But my interest in seeing Saturn was more curiosity. Okay, I've seen it. Let's move on to something else. But on the other hand, those that really want to be proficient and an expert at it, it's going to take a while. And they're willing to expend that effort. Now, the reason I say that is you heard in the scripture reading just a few moments ago that Garrett read for us in John 12, there were some Greeks that came up to Philip, one of the apostles, and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, what kind of request was that? Was it, you know, we were anxious to see what he looks like? Does he have brown hair? Does he have a beard? Is he muscular? We want to see him. And then once we see him, okay, we're out of here. Or was it more than that? And I think that question embodies a quest. It embodies a quest that is worthy of an entire year as a theme for us. And thus, in the year 2022, we're going to be looking at that theme. Every first Sunday morning of the year, Lord willing, we'll be talking about, we wish to see Jesus. And what does that mean? Exactly what does that mean? Is it even possible for us to see Jesus? Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. We're going to talk about a wish that can be granted. Let's look at that in light of the Word of God. Turn with me again to John 12 if you've already turned away from that passage. Let's go back to John chapter 12 and look at that passage a bit more closely. John chapter 12, and we're going to begin by talking about that request that those Greeks had that they asked Philip about. Now, we're looking in John chapter 12 at just days before the cross. In fact, in the opening verses, we see it's about 6 days. And when you come down further in the chapter, it's now a day later. So we're getting very close to the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows it. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And yet he marches forward despite all the pain and the suffering. In the middle of the chapter, we find that Jesus rides in upon a donkey, on the colt of a donkey. And this is in fulfillment of a prophecy that you find in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It is about the king coming into your midst, riding on a donkey. And many people in Jerusalem, I mean, there are just hundreds and thousands of visitors in the city of Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And they see Jesus riding in, and an explosion of adulation. People are taking off their garments and laying it in the path. They're taking palm fronds and laying it in the path. In other words, they're saying, "You are the Son of David. You are the fulfillment of that prophecy." And nearby, the Pharisees are gritting their teeth. They are seething in anger. In fact, look at John chapter 12 and verse 19, and you'll find what John has them saying there. And this is while they watch Jesus riding in and the crowd going wild over Jesus. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you're gaining nothing." They've been trying to squelch this. They've been trying to discredit Jesus, and they're not successful in that. And they go on to say, "Look, the world has gone after him." Now, technically, it wasn't the world going after Jesus. That'll come later. But you see here, the Pharisees say we're failing in our attempts. Jesus is only getting more and more popular. And then, as if to show what they were saying was true, now John says this in John 12, verses 20 and 21. The very next verses, look at what it says there, beginning in verse 20. "Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus.'" And you see, the idea is these are people that are not Jewish by culture, by genealogy. They're Greeks. They are of that culture. And yet they have heard so much about Jesus, they say, "We want to find out more about this man. Can you set up an appointment with us?" Donald Guthrie, in his comments on this passage, says this: Many Gentiles were attracted to Judaism's ideas because of its higher moral emphasis compared with paganism. These men had probably come from the Decapolis, a region nearby. They had probably come from the Decapolis and may even have known Philip, who came from nearby Bethsaida. It may be assumed that their quest to see Jesus was prompted by a desire to learn from him rather than mere curiosity. Maybe John sees them as examples of the world going after Jesus. And I think that's why John wrote that immediately after what the Pharisees say. So here are some Greeks. We don't know how many there were. We don't know anything more about them than that. But they go to Philip, one of the apostles, and they say, "We wish to see Jesus." Now let's read on and find out what happens as a result of that request. Verses 22 through 24. John 12, 22 through 24. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now that's a rather odd response for us. We would expect Jesus to say, "Sure, show them the way, bring them over here. I'll be glad to talk to them." But Jesus doesn't say that. Now, he may have said that after what he did say in John's record, but we don't know that. In other words, John found it more important for us to know that Jesus saw this as a sign. The hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be put to death. Jesus knew the time had come, and that was the focal point. But you see, the idea is, here are some people, they come and they say, "We wish to see Jesus." And as we think about that question, you know, a lot of us would say, "Well, that's kind of what I'd like to do. I'd like to see Jesus." Is it? Is that really what we want? Now, let's make sure we understand what they're saying. Let's look at a couple of the words in that question, "We wish to see Jesus." For example, let's focus on the word "wish." What does that mean? For many of us, a wish is, you know, before we blow out our birthday candles, we close our eyes and we make a wish, and we never really expect it to happen, but that's what they want us to do. So, okay, I'm wishing for a brand new car this year, and it doesn't show up, or maybe it does if you are so blessed. The word in the Greek is from thelo. You find several examples of it in the New Testament. It is a word that can mean, I want this, I desire this, I wish this. Let's look at a couple of examples. First of all, Matthew 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And we know this verse very well. We call it the golden rule. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew's terms. "So whatever you wish..." And there that word "wish" again is translated from the same Greek word thelo. "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now we understand that. It means that I first of all think, well, would I want other people spreading this rumor about me? Then maybe I shouldn't do it about others as well. "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, you do that to them as well." But you know, sometimes we do that and what we wish others would do to us doesn't happen. It's what we wish, but it doesn't happen. Is that what we're talking about? Or go to the next chapter in Matthew, chapter 8 and verse 2. And again, you're going to find the same Greek word translated a little differently here. "Behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, 'Lord, if you will..." And the word there, "will," is translated from thelo. "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, the leper knew what he wanted. And he said, "I know you can do it, Jesus, but what I don't know is if you will, if you wish." Now, in this case, Jesus did wish that, and it came true. He was healed immediately of his leprosy. But you see, again, it shows us that there is that desire. There is that really strong desire for something, but will it happen? Is it something that we can actually make happen? And when we say we wish to see Jesus, well, we know what we mean by that, but can it happen? And now let's focus on that second word in this verse. We wish to see Jesus. Now, as we've already suggested, it was more probably for those Greeks than just getting a look at him so they could draw a picture and show it to other people. That's probably not that what they had in mind. Instead, they were probably thinking about, you know, I want to learn from him. He sounds so intriguing. I really want to know more about him. Is that what we're looking at? Well, let's look at that word see. It is from the Greek word orao. It is a word which sometimes can mean to put my eyeballs on it. I mean, I look out there, you know, I can look out in the parking lot, I can see several cars. Okay, but I don't understand how they work. I just know they're out there, that they'll probably drive off in a little while. But it can mean to just see. But other times, it can also mean to grasp, to comprehend, to understand. And we use that image often. You know, we'll be looking at an issue, a problem, and all of a sudden we'll say, oh, I see. I get it now. And it's the idea of comprehension. 3 John 11. I'm not going to tell you what chapter in 3 John it is. You'll have to figure that out. But 3 John 11, here's what we find John saying there. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. And there the word is translated from horao again. Now what John is saying is, if you do evil, you've not seen God. But wait a minute, has anybody seen God? Well, not in the flesh, not if we understand what various passages in the Old Testament mean. But what John means there is, if you practice evil, you don't get God. You don't understand God. You don't know who he is and what he's calling for you to do and to live. And so when we say, sir, I wish to see Jesus, I don't expect to ever see with these physical eyes Jesus, at least until he comes again, but I can comprehend him. I can understand him. And I can see him as he is revealed to us in the New Testament. That is a very valid quest. And so we can all say today, yes, we wish to see Jesus. And as we're going to see in a moment, that is a wish that can be granted. So now let's ask that question. Can we see Jesus? I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what we're asking, isn't it? We wish to see Jesus. Can we see Jesus? Well, let's talk about a different way of seeing, a different kind of seeing. Turn with me to Psalm 24 for a moment or two. Psalm 24. And there's a statement near the end of the passage we're going to look at that kind of makes clear what we're talking about. Psalm 24, going to begin reading in verse 3, and we're going to go through verse 6. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Now, there's a couple of statements there that you might say are very audacious. Are you really saying that's what you want? What are they? Well, in verse 3, for example, we want to climb the holy hill of God. We want to stand in his holy place. Are you kidding me? The holy place referred to that place in the tabernacle and later in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was. That represented God's very presence. You're saying that you want to stand in the presence of God? And then in verse 6, another audacious claim, and that is they seek the face of God. And again, how's that possible? We're in the flesh, and many passages suggest and say outright, you cannot see God and live. But when you look at the verses in between, verse 4, verse 5, he talks about things that we can do, that we can practice, living the way God teaches us to live. And when you do that, yes, you are standing in the holy place and you are seeking the face of God. It's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, when he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. You see on the screen a photo of a cockpit. I didn't take this. Some of you could. Some of you actually are pilots or have been. And you understand that it's important to be able to see where you're going when you're flying a plane. And yet sometimes, how? I mean, it's going to be dark. It's going to be so cloudy or foggy. It's just not possible to see with your eyes. That's why you have to have instruments that will guide you, that will alert you to the dangers that are ahead and the right way to go. Well, in the same way, life is often dark and foggy and cloudy. And without the guidance that comes from above, how are we going to make it? How are we going to walk unless we walk by faith and not by sight? So there is a different kind of seeing that the Bible talks about. And when we say we wish to see Jesus, that's what we're looking at. Looking at him with the eyes of faith, with the revelation God has given to us of Jesus. That's how we're going to see Jesus. And let's go now to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to begin with the first three verses there. Notice what John says as he begins. He's talking about, I was there. That's essentially what he's saying. I was there in the presence of Jesus. We can't say that, but he does. 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we have seen it. And we can only marvel and say, boy, if only we could have been there with John and Peter and James and all of the other apostles. And if we could have seen him and heard him and touched him, how wonderful that would have been. But we weren't. We're out of luck. No, John says, you're not out of luck. Let's finish reading what we started. Let's begin again in verse 1, 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it. And testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're not lacking anything when it comes to fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And how's that possible? Because John said, we were there, we saw it, we heard it, we touched him, and now we proclaim it to you. And when you receive our message meekly, honestly, and submit to it, then you're going to have the same level of fellowship that we have with the Father and the Son. That's seeing. And also think about John 20. John 20, verse 29. This is after Thomas, who had not been present when Jesus first appeared to the apostles. He said, I'm not going to believe that he has arisen from the dead until I see it with my own eyes. And then Jesus appears a week later, and Thomas is there. And Jesus said, okay, come on over and touch me. You know, put your finger in my hand, you know, where the nail was in my hand, in my side. And we don't know if Thomas actually touched him or whether just seeing was enough, but he said, "My Lord and my God." Now, listen to what Jesus says in verse 29 of John 20. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that includes us. If you believe, it can include you if you don't yet believe. But Jesus says, you are blessed because you didn't actually see me, hear me, touch me, but you still believe. And others who don't yet believe say, well, how can I? Well, read on. Look at verses 30 and 31. Immediately it comes, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You don't have to have been there in his physical presence while he walked on earth. You can read the record, the divinely inspired record that we have of his life. We can read about the signs that he did, and we can come to the point of faith, and then we can have life in his name. We're seeing, but not in the way that we normally think of. Paul talked about this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 18 is right in the middle of a long prayer, so we're kind of dipping in. But I want you to see a phrase that he uses there that I think says everything about what we're saying this morning. He includes in that prayer that they might have the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and on he goes. But did you catch that part? The eyes of your heart enlightened. Did you know your heart has eyes in it? Well, not actual eyeballs and no actual nerves like we have in the eyes in our head. But we understand what he says, because sometimes we can actually see with our hearts. Have you ever talked with somebody that outwardly may look unattractive? And yet the more you talk with them, the more you learn about them, the more attractive they become. Because they show they have lived a life that is worthy, a life that is good. Or maybe somebody that appears very old, and yet as you talk with them and hear about their experiences, that age just seems to vanish. You're seeing with the eyes of your heart. And that's what Paul is saying. When you read Scripture, when you read the New Testament, particularly, see with the eyes of your heart. You'll not see Jesus with your physical eyes, not until he comes again. But in the meantime, you can absolutely see him with the eyes of your heart. Psalm 119 verse 18 says it well. Psalm 119 verse 18, where the psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Now there's nothing to indicate the psalmist was blind physically, but he said, "Lord, I need your help to open my eyes so that I can really see the glory of what you're teaching me." And don't we all need to pray that prayer maybe every day? Lord, as I sit down to read the Bible, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things. I really appreciate Matt leading the song that he did earlier. I didn't ask him to, but he probably saw what I was going to be preaching on and said, yeah, that's got to be there. Robert Call wrote the words, though, that I'm referring to. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Maybe it would be good for all of us to memorize those words and sing that song in our minds, if not out loud, every day. Because once we see Jesus, well, what's going to happen? I mean, okay, we see Jesus. Now what? 2 Corinthians 3:18. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. We all with unveiled face, that is, there's no filters, we're not looking through anything, we're just looking directly, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You're going to be changed if you really see Jesus. I mean, really see him as he is revealed in the Word of God. And that's what we're hoping to do all the remainder of this year on the first Sunday of every month. We want to see Jesus. That is our desire. And the more we see him, the more we're going to resemble him, and we'll change this world. Are you a follower of Christ? If you're not, we urge you to open your eyes and see that he is reaching out to you right now. He came for you just as surely as he came for me. And if you've not yet become a Christian, confess your faith that he is God's son. Turn away from sin, repenting of it. And today, put him on in the act of baptism. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or have you been listening to the world, watching things of this world more than Jesus? You may need to repent. And if that's the case, we urge you to do it now. And let's pray together for your forgiveness as we stand together and sing.
I need your love, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can be so poor.
Please be seated.
This morning, Seth comes forward with a request that a lot of us could make. I can, and I know many of you can as well. He says sometimes our minds get all filled with worry, and we get stressed, we feel pain, and we just want to be free of that. And the solution, of course, is turning to God, just like Seth is doing right now, asking God to take this burden from us and help us not to worry about it. And so we're going to pray with Seth in a few minutes and ask God to help him. But I think a lot of us could put our names in that blank and say, Lord, help me as well. I've also been asked to read this statement by Sierra Parker. And I just think so highly of Sierra for this. You may not know all the details behind it, but I think you'll have to agree. This is a statement from a sister in Christ that really wants to do right. She writes this: It has been brought to my attention that certain beliefs and opinions that I feel very strongly about have perhaps gotten in my way of being the strongest Christian I can be. Although some of these beliefs I feel convicted of in a spiritual manner, others do not. I feel strongly that I have offended or hurt others by speaking openly about my opinions. This was never my intention. But because I have felt so hurt and judged by others, I feel I have slipped into sin by becoming defensive. Although I have striven to remain kind and respectful about all my opinions, I fear I, along the way, have slipped up. And because I cannot discern the thoughts of others, I ask fully and openly for forgiveness and repent of my actions. I pray that God will bring peace to any that I have hurt, and I encourage anyone that I may ever have hurt to reach out to me so that I can ask forgiveness in person. My desire for myself, my family, and to all those about me is to be unified in Christ and one with His word and being fruitful in His kingdom. Therefore, I ask your forgiveness and a new day for us to work together for the good of the Lord's kingdom. I think that is an amazing request, and I think so highly of Sierra for asking that. And I urge you to pray with her and for her. And if you are one of those that she mentions, I would urge you to go to her and just be completely reconciled. We've also received a request from Brittany Haas to pray for her husband, Gary. Gary is in need of encouragement right now, and she has asked that we pray for him, and we're going to include him as well in our prayer right now. Let's bow. Our God and our Father in heaven, we bow and praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful in so many ways. And the longer we live, Father, the more we know you are God, and there is no other. Lord, we bow and we praise you for Jesus, our Savior, who lived a perfect life and then willingly became the Lamb of God. And because of that atonement through his blood, we now can call you Father. Help us, Lord, to be his followers. Help us to see him as never before. And thank you so much, Lord, for this gift of prayer. Thank you for these who have asked for our prayers, and we pray that you'll hear them. We pray that you'll bless Seth and give him peace. Help him to know that he can bring his cares to you and cast them all on you, for you care for him as you do for all of us. And Father, thank you for Sierra's example. Lord, we pray that if there has been any offense, that you'll forgive her of that, and that you'll also cause those who may have been offended to go to her so that they may be fully reconciled with each other. And Father, we pray for Gary. We pray that you will bless him in ways that you know he needs. We pray that he will get the encouragement he needs and that all will be well. Lord, we know you know all things. And so we put these things before you and we trust you, Father, that you will do what is right and best. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 922.
As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day you've given us, the blessings that we have, the warm temperatures, the nice weather. Thank you most of all for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. Pray, dear God, that we'll partake of this bread which represents his body in a way in which is well-pleasing in your sight. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you again, we thank you so much again for your Son and for the sacrifice he made. Dear God, we pray that we will take this fruit of the vine, which represents his blood that was shed for us, in a way also in which is well-pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name, amen. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we have a time where we can give back to the church. So let's pray for what we're about to do. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we realize we are so blessed, but we also realize that all of our blessings come from you. Dear God, as we think about the things that we have received in the last weeks, months, years, pray, dear God, that we'll give back a portion of that as we go, that might be used to further your kingdom. Dear God, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's close with a prayer and a few announcements. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray that the praise that's been offered up to you has been met with your favor, that you have been pleased by it. Please be with us day by day. Help us to stay on the path that leads to a home in heaven with you. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.